Today's reading is from John chapter 1, reading from verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied. "But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. And let's just...
Well, August 2, 2026 is a day we will never forget. What an honor, Luke and Timmy, Grant and Kirsty, thank you for letting me be a small part of what this memorable day will bring to us. The first time we were at this fellowship was, I think, 8 years ago. We walked in, and boy, did we love the sermon. Whatever Grant preached that day was awesome. The music was fantastic. You were up at the little library place, right? And we met two little boys, Luke and Timmy. We knew this would be a space for us then, because if I had a son, I was going to name him Luke. We never did, because my dad, who was a preacher, my favorite sermon of my father was one where he included a verse that's from 2 Timothy that said, "Only Luke is with me." Paul had one friend at the end. He was Luke. And so Luke is a symbol of somebody who's a friend. Somebody that needs a friend. Somebody that is a friend. So we had Luke, and then we had Timmy. I've been Timmy my whole life. I know my old friends because they still call me Timmy. And so Timmy, my goodness. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois. Hello, Barry. And Kirsty, your mother's name is?
Murray.
Grandmothers. And your mother Eunice, Kirsty. So you're following in some big footsteps of not just the men in your family, but the women as well. And so we fell in love with Luke and Timmy. We went to play golf on the Struy. And I began to wonder from Luke, the first chapter, 66. We didn't read it this morning, but there's a great sentence in there. John the Baptist was born, and Zechariah and Elizabeth asked this question that I know Grant and Kirsty would have asked a long time ago. What then is this child going to be? Luke. For the Lord's hand was with him. Luke, this is for you. Timmy, this is for you. What will you be? You don't know when you're 19 and what, 14? You don't really know the full answer to that. But this morning, we're in the first chapter of John a little bit, the opening introduction to Jesus Christ. But it's interesting, it's also about John the Baptist, this guy named John the Baptist. Now, it's about Jesus, of course. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. But my goodness, right in the middle of this introduction to the Savior of the world is a whole paragraph about this guy named John the Baptist. John 1:6 introduces us to John the Baptist. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. So I'll just say it. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was Luke. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was Timmy. Now, I've often heard and read that we should live like Jesus, be like Jesus, lead like Jesus. Now, I got onto this morning, and I got to be careful here because somebody might be tempted to call me a heretic. So I got to be careful. So I hope, who said it? I hope you have ears to hear. I got on Amazon this morning looking for books. I found the following books. No lie, this was 2 hours ago. Becoming Like Jesus, Walk Like Jesus, Love Like Jesus, Think Like Jesus, Lead Like Jesus, Live Like Jesus, Fight Like Jesus, Just Like Jesus, Act Like Jesus, Dream Like Jesus, Teach Like Jesus, Radical Like Jesus, Talk Like Jesus, Be More Like Jesus, Learning to Love and Live Like Jesus, Heal Like Jesus, Ask Like Jesus, Growing to Be Like Jesus, Praying Like Jesus, Living Like Jesus, Look Like Jesus, I Can Be Like Jesus, a whole series of books for children, One Like Jesus, More Like Jesus. Whew. I got tired reading them. We need one that says Play Golf Like Jesus, Alex. Where you'd birdie every hole. And I have something profound for me. Maybe not for you, but I'm sorry, but I can't do it. I'm 75 years old, and I've been trying hard my whole life to do all of those things. And I've gotten tired doing it. Church, you know, sometimes when you're young, Luke and Timmy, you can hear things that aren't really being said. You start to think as you're young that church is all about being a good little boy. It's really not. But it gets reinforced in a lot of different ways. You'll be a good little boy. And I grew up as Timmy, trying to be a good little boy. And boy, the day came when I'm like, dang, this is harder than it sounded. And then you get lopped onto that. Now you need to be like Jesus. I'm going, geez, okay. Didn't he walk on water? Didn't he feed 5,000? Didn't he raise people from the dead? And the pressure began to build. My father was a preacher. The pressure began to build. To be a good little boy. To be like Jesus. And I almost collapsed under the pressure. Sue and I have been watching since we've been here. We've been here 5 weeks, and we finally had time in the evenings to watch The Chosen. Have y'all done that? You need to if you haven't. We've watched every episode. And then watched a documentary called Jonathan and Jesus. Have you seen that? Whoa. The actor named Jonathan, who plays Jesus in the series, whoa, has absolutely been broken. Broken. By trying to be Jesus. He goes to an airport and everybody gathers around him and says, heal me, please. Oh, I love you, Jesus. And they want to hug him. They want him to pray for them. And after a few weeks of figuring out who he was, trying to be Jesus, he was just about a broken man. You got to watch the documentary. It's fantastic because he has absolutely not only come to faith, but real faith in Jesus. He finally figured out he's not Jesus, thankfully. He decided to let Jesus be Jesus. And so, I'll say this, and I'll say it at the end again, Luke and Timmy. Don't try to be Jesus. I hope you have ears to hear. But let Jesus be Jesus for you. Let Jesus be Jesus in you. Now, I do want to recommend, though, that you try your best to be like my friend John the Baptist. Who was he, anyway? Well, Jesus said he's the greatest man who ever lived. The greatest. And before we go on and talk a little bit about who he was, and that was Jesus himself saying yes, amen to that. He made it clear that he was not the Christ. They said here in this passage that we read, who are you anyway? He said, I'm not the Christ. And then I love this, because this has always made me go, I can't really probably be like Jesus. I've been trying for so long time, but I can maybe be like John the Baptist. You know, Jesus, they went on to say that John the Baptist performed no miracles. Did you know that? He never performed a miracle. Whew. The pressure's off. You don't have to walk on water and perform miracles. And the Bible even tells us that after he got arrested and got his head chopped off, by the way, following Jesus will get your head chopped off, Luke, Timmy, eventually. It said that John the Baptist, while he was in jail, doubted. He sent two of his disciples back. It says, hey, go see Jesus and let's make sure he's really the one. Is he really the one, or should we wait for somebody else to come? Here was John the Baptist, the first witness to Jesus Christ. Even in the womb, the Bible tells us that he was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. Now that does something to my theology. But it's in the Bible, so we better pay attention. And when the pregnant Mary and the pregnant Elizabeth were in the same room together, little John the Baptist, who wasn't even born yet, was already leaping with joy in his mother's womb in the presence of Jesus Christ. He was already witnessing to Jesus before he was born. Oh my. Kirsty, did Luke jump around a little bit in the womb? Did he? Okay. And So who was this John the Baptist then? He's the greatest man who ever lived. Apparently he wasn't perfect. But here's what he was. The Bible tells us clearly, John 1, 6 and John 1, 8. The first words that we get to describe John the Baptist, he was a witness. And so, Luke, Timmy, I know you all can be a witness. Now, I'm a lawyer. I've spent my whole life in courtrooms. I was a judge, so I spent 40-some years in a courtroom almost every day. There's certain characters in the courtroom. And you got to make sure you know, understand who what your role is in that courtroom. You're not the judge. You're not to judge anybody. You're not the prosecutor pointing your bony finger at all the evil in the world. It's the devil himself who is the accuser. It's the devil that's the prosecutor. You don't need to be a defense attorney for Jesus. You can fall into that trap where you spend your whole life defending Jesus to all your friends, arguing with them. No, he's really this or that. No, you're not the prosecutor. You're not the defense attorney. You're not the judge. You're not just somebody out in the audience. Who are you in this scene? You're to be a witness. Witnesses come into court. They put their right hand up. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Luke, what have you seen? Timmy, what have you seen? And the answer is this. I've seen Jesus. I know Jesus. I know him. I know this Jesus. I'm not just a witness. I'm an eyewitness. I'm not an expert witness. I'm an eyewitness to the power and the glory of Jesus. And so John the Baptist was, number one, a witness. Number two, similar to this, but he was a voice crying in the wilderness. Oh my goodness. We're in Scotland. Scotland needs a voice that will cry in the wilderness. Psalm 107 has a phrase that I love that might fit Luke, might fit Timmy. It says, let the redeemed, the word redeemed was up here someplace in the song, Kirsty. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. Oh my. How did Paul, the Apostle Paul, really meet Jesus? Well, we always think that he got like struck from lightning from heaven almost and knocked off his horse and a direct deal to God, but not really. You know, Paul was there when Stephen, the first martyr, when Stephen was killed. The Bible tells us that Stephen looked up to heaven, and Saul at the time, was standing right there watching the whole thing. And it's clear that Saul could have never been knocked off his horse and seen Jesus if, first of all, he had not seen that Stephen had seen Jesus. And so you want to let people around you know, I've seen this Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Because other people will follow in your footsteps. And so he was a witness. He was a voice. And thirdly, he was a pointer. He pointed people to Jesus. When we were growing up, my brother and I, we had a little dog named Lady. And she was a pointer, a bird dog. She saw a bird. So we're not pointing people to ourselves. We're pointing people to Jesus. Look what the scripture says. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and says, look, the Lamb of God. Then the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples, that's Luke and Timmy, heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following, and these are the first things in red letters in the book of John. What do you want? Luke, before I leave town, we'll have a cup of coffee and discuss that. What do you want? What are you following me for? Timmy, what do you want? And these two guys says, well, Jesus, where are you staying? And Jesus said to them, come and see. He didn't say come and believe. He just said come and see. You're invited into my world. And they went. And of course, the beauty of that story is that as John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, the first thing then that Andrew did was go get his brother, Simon Peter. First thing John did was go get his brother, James, which is exactly what happened to me when I was 18 years old. I began to follow Jesus. My first person I ever led to Jesus was my little brother, Danny. He was 16. I wanted him to come with me. So Luke, this is a big deal. You wanted Timmy to be here today too, didn't you? Timmy, you're starting to follow Jesus, but you're following Luke too. This is how it works. My brother died a year and a half ago. I did his funeral, and the title of the message was The Power of a Little Brother. I mean, right now, Luke, you're the big deal. And he's the little brother, but someday you're going to need this little brother. The power of you guys doing this together cannot be underestimated. And so John the Baptist was a witness. You can do that. John the Baptist was a voice. You can be that. John the Baptist was a pointer. You can do that. And then who are you, John the Baptist? Well, John said, oh, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I'm just the best man at a wedding. The bridegroom is Jesus himself. I'm just the best man. I stand here and go, it's his big day. And so you are the friend of the bridegroom, the best man at a wedding. And this search, if you will, this process will go on for a long time. Luke, you're 19. Am I right about that? I began to follow Jesus when I was 18. I heard a voice that said, will you follow me? And I did. When I was about 32, I heard another voice that says, well, you're doing a pretty good job at following, but will you trust me? I was in my 30s when I said, yes, I'll trust you. And then I was about 60 years old, which you can't even imagine now, right, Timmy? Can you imagine being as old as me? I mean, I'll never be as old as Jimmy back there, but when I heard this voice that says, will you marry me? Wait a minute. Jesus is the, God is my husband, my lover. I began to understand love for the first time when I was 60 years old. Will you follow me? Will you trust me? Will you marry me? And fortunately, I said yes all three times. This is a big day, but it's not your only day. And so John the Baptist, a witness, a voice, a pointer, a friend, a messenger. John the Baptist is the fulfillment of the last chapter in the book of Malachi in the Old Testament before the world went dark for 400 years before Jesus. In Malachi, they told us who this John the Baptist would be. He would be the guy that comes to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And the hearts of the children to their fathers. Luke, Timmy, the happiest day of your daddy's life was the day you were born. Timmy, the happiest day of Grant's life was the day you were born. But today may be just as good. Born again. Oh, happy day. What are the words? We need to sing that. I forget the words, Kirsty. I was trying to remember them coming up here today, but I couldn't remember them. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus took my sins away, he taught me how to watch and pray. I'm starting to remember it. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus took my sins away. Jesus is taking all your sins away. You're going under the water today to show the world that you're forgiven. And you believe and you will follow. And so lastly, I'll close with this. I know what the pressure is of being a preacher's kid. I was one. My dad was a preacher. And I mentioned this at my brother's funeral. There was just two boys. My dad had two boys, Tim and Danny, just like Luke and Timmy. And I'll say this at this event because I said it at my brother's funeral, but I went back and talked a little bit about Eli and Samuel. Go back in the Old Testament, Luke, and read this, but it says that Eli, the priest, his two sons, it says, were worthless scoundrels. In some versions, it says they were nothing but trouble. It says they were worthless men, useless men, wicked men. The priest's two kids. And that's when Samuel got in the picture, and then all of a sudden, Samuel, you would think, oh, this will save the day. The same thing is said about him. His two sons turned out to be worthless scoundrels. It said, oh my goodness. That certainly applied to me and Danny when we were young. But finally, we finally understood that there was nothing good in us and that Jesus was our only hope. You see, even preacher's kids are sinners. Just like everybody else. You don't get born into God's family by the fact that your father is a pastor and a preacher. You're born into the kingdom of God by your trust and your belief and your following after this Jesus Christ. And so, I love the fact that John went and found James, Andrew went and found Peter, Luke is leading Timmy. My little brother Danny never responded to his preacher dad, but he responded to me when his big brother said, hey, come follow me. So Luke, you're not doing this just for yourself. You're doing this for Timmy too. And Timmy, there will be others following you. Who's your friend sitting here today? What's your name?
Nathan.
Nathan. Who are you, Nathan? A friend?
His best friend.
A best friend. Awesome. Nathan. I love that. Already. You guys are already bringing others into the kingdom. So, oh my. I know this. You may have trouble living like Jesus and all those things I said. I think it was 25 different books about being like Jesus. It's not that easy. But you can be a witness. You can be a voice. You can be a messenger. You can point to Jesus. You can be a friend of Jesus. You can be a good big brother. You can be a good little brother. And you can let Jesus be Jesus for you. And you can let Jesus be Jesus in you. Let's pray.